Hello, I'm Chris Biddle, and this is episode 123 of Inside AgriTurf. Now, I'm recording this episode to tell you that I've decided to bring down the curtain on this podcast for the land-based engineering community after four absorbing, exhilarating, and highly satisfying years. Why? There's a combination of reasons why the timing is right. First, it's the age thing. I didn't start the podcast until I was in my late 70s, and now I'm heading towards my mid-80s, and apart from dodgy knees that are well past their sell-by date, I'm well and still retain my desire to stay curious and never stop learning. And I'd rather stop now, whilst I can still string two words together. And then there's the money thing. I always wanted to retain independence over my choice of content and guests. From the very beginning, I decided that Inside AgriTurf would be free of advertising or sponsorship. So I generated no income to cover equipment costs, editing software, hosting costs, and so on. It was a hobby rather than a business. But these costs have steadily risen to a point where they have become personally unsustainable. But I'm far from inactive. I have recently returned to my roots in journalism, having been appointed editor of the magazine for former pupils of my old school, King's School Bruton in Somerset. And what a contrast to writing about land-based engineering. I've had a fascinating cast of ex-pupils to interview for features in the magazine. There's Luke, a recent winner of an Emmy for producing the live stream of Elton John's Farewell to the Dodger Stadium concert for Disney Plus, and Luke is also chairman of Sir Elton's Rocket Entertainment Group. There's Nick, a Cornishman, the captain of all captains. He heads all the captains on the Princess Cruises fleet operating worldwide out of Miami. And it was fascinating how he organises the mix of guests on the captain's table during each cruise. And then Nick, the inspirational founder of SOS Africa, a charity he founded when he was just 18, fresh out of school, which has just opened its fifth education centre in and around Cape Town. And then an in-depth interview with the headmaster about the likely impact of VAT on fees, which is likely in the event of Labour forming the next government. Now, King's Bruton is a drastically different school to the one I attended in the 1950s. Then it was all boys. The food was pretty awful. Contact with the opposite sex was forbidden and indeed punishable. And the village of Bruton had very few redeeming features. Today, Bruton is trendy and often described in the press as a Notting Hill of the West Country. It is now home to several celebrities, has a world-famous art gallery, Michelin-star restaurants, and a five-star country house hotel nearby. And the school is co-educational, 50% boys, 50% girls, a very large number of whom are day or weekly pupils, with a depleted number of boarders. I must say, it has been strange reconnecting with a school that I left more than 60 years ago. But back to Inside AgriTurf, I would have liked to have ended with a selection of snippets from past episodes, but there were too many to choose from. So I think it's appropriate that I should sign off with a short extract from the very first regular episode featuring Ruth Bailey, CEO of the Agricultural Engineers Association, that's the AEA, representing manufacturers and suppliers, and Keith Christian, then the General Manager of BAGMA, the British Agricultural and Garden Machinery Association, who represents dealers. This was recorded in June 2020, shortly after we were plunged into uncharted territory as a result of the COVID pandemic. At the time of the recording, BAGMA, if you recall, was owned by BIRA, the British Independent Retailers Association. Now, here's a short history lesson to help you join up some of the dots. Back in the day, Dean Swift was a former Director General of the AEA. His son, Jonathan, subsequently became Director General of BAGMA. before being appointed CEO of the British Hardware Federation, the BHF, who in turn took over Bagma when it ran into financial difficulties. BHF subsequently became Bayer, who then sold Bagma to the AEA, so completing a remarkable circle. Now, I do hope you kept up on all that. During that episode, my first question was, how are you coping with running the AEA and Bagma during these difficult times?
I'm going a bit stir crazy now, I have to say. I like all the technologies were fantastic. We have Zoom facilities. And I think this sort of engagement where you've just got one-on-one or three or four people, maybe up to six, I think it's great. We're saving money in meetings, in time, in emissions and all that good stuff. I do feel now when it gets to a panel of 25 people on the same meeting that there's a person presenting and it's a listen with mother session. It really is. It loses creativity, I think, that interaction and that sort of feedback you get from being face-to-face with people, just it dissipates.
From a business point of view, it's been quite interesting. I mean, I was actually at home isolated before the official lockdown. I do have an office at home. I am set up to do everything from home. What it's meant for me personally is that I haven't done any traveling since early March, really. It does give you more time, but the time becomes more regulated. And that's what I found, that you sort of come into a Groundhog Day type situation where you're starting at a certain time, having lunch, working on maybe a bit later in the evening, but a much more regulated 9-to-5 type of existence, which I've never been used to. So that was a bit of a shock. Very busy early on in all this, trying to gather information, answer people's questions, in a sense being quite reactive as a trade association.
Which brings us really to the nub of the question. What role do trade associations play at challenging times such as these?
Yeah, Chris, as I said earlier, I think our stakeholder engagement really, really kicked in and proved its worth. Immediately, we were in talks with DEFRA through our collaborations and our partners. Immediately, we were writing to George Eustace, the DEFRA minister, to confirm that we were part of that supply chain, the food supply chain that had to keep going. We wrote with Keith to express the real importance of grounds care and keeping our green spaces open and how important it was for mental health and well-being. And we're still writing to the government on a very regular basis and receiving replies, because that's where the government sees the interface with industry. It's working with lots and lots of different alliances, and it's working with lots and lots of different groupings, trade association groups or otherwise, to find the mood of industry. So the interface that we provide from members back to government is really important. And when you're dealing with something like this, which is a vast unknown, the first thing you want to know is what everybody else is doing as well. Is it just you that's suffering or struggling or not understanding what the government says? And the answer is no, it's not just you. And that's really been quite an important role that the Trade Association has played for its members, I think, during the whole pandemic. There's always something that's relevant and is necessary for our members to take stock of to run their businesses. So information streams are always vital.
Keith, Bagma is part of a group of trade associations, as you said, of independent retailers spread across a number of sectors. How do you feel that Bagma's role has been during the last few months?
Really, we play a more supportive role for industry, supporting our dealers. But as I said earlier, it's being reactive to what they want to do. So HR issues, finance issues, things like that. So individually with members, we can deal with that on a one-to-one basis because of what we do as a group, I suppose. And individually within Bagma in the industry, we can find out things for people. We don't just use that for our members. If somebody rings up and wants some help, we'll help them if we can. So the legal side of things has been really busy developing risk assessments, you know, COVID responsible areas for businesses that are open and we're going to reopen. A lot of HR issues surrounding furloughing and potentially into the future redundancies. Holidays, how do you deal with holidays when people are being furloughed? You know, do they need to take holidays? So a lot of background legal advice and financial advice we can give. And generally, supporting the industry as a whole.
Who can forget those days? And although life has returned to something we call normality, the impact that COVID had on society is still very evident. But COVID also had some unexpected consequences, some beneficial, others perhaps not so. For instance, it was clear from that very first podcast, talking with Ruth and Keith, that the benefits of working together on behalf of the whole industry made absolute sense. The days of manufacturers are from Mars, dealers from Venus are long gone. This is one industry with common goals. Now, those joint meetings during COVID successfully established a cross-industry stance for government agencies and ensured that most manufacturers and dealers across both the ag machinery and turf care sectors were able to continue operating at a time when many businesses were forced to shut down. Looking back, I think the content of that opening episode of Inside AgriTurf was pivotal. An excellent example of a practical and pragmatic approach from those at the helm of an unheralded and relatively unknown industry. And as you now know, was almost certainly the catalyst for AEA and Bagma coming together under one roof, albeit still retaining their own identities. When I launched the podcast in 2020, I was a nervous novice. It was quite some learning curve. I had to get to grips with the complexity of production, recording techniques, and editing of podcasts. Editing is the key to a successful podcast and the most complex. Making sure that the conversation flows, cutting out superfluous or repeated words, taking out external noises, making sure that the volume is balanced, and of course, eliminating any naughty words. I always sent a preview of each episode to my guest or guests, and often someone would say, "Oh, I'm not sure I should have said that," so the offending remark could be edited out before the podcast went live. I had no idea initially how it was going to be received, or indeed whether there would be an audience for it. But today, getting on for 12,000 downloads later, I think I got the answer. This was no blockbuster podcast, but a niche production for a niche audience. I managed to attract an eclectic mix of guests from all over the world, each with an involvement, interest, or relevance to the world of land-based engineering, and the subject matter varied enormously. The roll call of guests is too long to name check here. Most had never taken part in a radio interview or podcast recording, but without exception, they made excellent contributors. So can I thank everyone who guested on Inside AgriTurf, and most especially everyone who downloaded and continued to download the episodes. I'd also like to thank some special colleagues who provided me with help and advice, notably sales and marketing guru Sunjun Craner in New Zealand, customer service expert Dan Pratt in Swindon and Paris, and Wesley Baker in Canterbury, who helped me understand the positives and perils of AI. Their contact details are in the show notes for this episode. Thanks also to my wife Trish, who put up with my endless search for guests, planning episodes and hours editing the content before adding the cheesy music. Now, a large part of me is sorry that my podcasting journey has come to an end. After more than 60 years in this incredible industry, I continued to learn so much from the highly articulate AgriTurf community. All sectors of this wide-ranging industry are facing major challenges and changes, but it was forever thus. But still, as we've learned this year, pandemics may come and go, Recessions may come and go. Disruptive events such as foot and mouth may test us, as will new rules and legislation. But the major influencer on our fortunes remains the weather. Thank you once again. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the relevant episodes as much as I've enjoyed making them. So for the 123rd and last time, I'm Chris Biddle. Thank you for joining me for Inside AgriTurf.